Appreciate everyone's desire to assemble to give our worship and praise to God. Don't get upset if you look at your notes, and some of you may have not turned them over and see there's also additional notes on the back. But don't fret. I'm going to do my best. Do my best to finish this in just a matter of minutes. I believe that. But I will try. The title of the lesson comes from the text that was read to us, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you go. In the introduction, I'm giving you five questions to kind of help us analyze the text. The first one is, who is the subject of the text? Of course, the answer is thy. That means that's you, that's me, that's we, that's all individuals. That's all of us here. No one is exempt. Whatsoever you or thy hand finds to do. So anyone who is alive is the subject of the text. That's everyone here. Second, you have what is the subject of the text. And it says, whatsoever thy hand finds to do. That means anything. All things that we would do. No matter what type or degree or kind or quality of thing that we have to do. Nothing is left in our course of daily living that this text doesn't apply to. Whatsoever, thy hand finds to do. There's certainly a lot to do in our daily living. We even have our to-do lists. Some more than others. But the reference certainly includes our spiritual living too. Whatsoever our hand finds to do in all of our course of living. Third question is, how should all of this be done? The text says, with all thy might. We use the talent, the ability, the effort that we have. Added to that, when we think about with all of our might, hopefully that would include that we are convinced of the necessity of the task or the work. It means that we need to put all of our effort into it to avoid any hindrance from accomplishing our task. The idea is we do it according to this conviction of how it's to be done. We give it our best shot. We do our best for God. Whatsoever our hand finds to do, we do it with all of our might. And that's a biblical principle in other places. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, it says, for first, if there's a willing mind, it is accepted according to what a man has and not according to what he has not. Again, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12. I don't think I put that one in your notes. But the idea is, again, remember, some of you, if you're old enough, remember a commercial years ago. There was an Exxon television commercial. It would say, to get the best out of your car, put the best into it. And in that commercial, they would show a man filling up his tank, and the tiger, a cartoon tiger, would go into the tank. To get the best out of it, you put your best into it. That's what Solomon is saying here. You do it with all of your might. And I put in your notes, the text is not concerned with the finished product. It's not concerned with the outcome. The text is not concerned with the result. At the end, it's concerned with our might. It's concerned with our effort, using what we have, our trying, our giving our work some gusto. When I was a teaching several years ago, in Santa Clara Unified School teacher in special education, success with my students was measured not always in outcome, but with effort. And many times we would write the goals and the objectives for the students and saying they will make this number of attempts. They will sit at a 10-minute task for 5 minutes, or try to for 5 minutes, and then it might even be increased to 7, and then hopefully, and it was measured every 3 months. Now, in general ed, they might measure student success at the end of the day or at the end of the week, but with special ed students, no, it was a 3-month goal or objective, and we would make those tries and those attempts. And then we would look 3 months down the road and look at that success, and then we might have to rewrite that goal or objective. But many times we would write the goal, they will attempt, they will try. See? I had this, I put this in your notes, I had a poster in my classroom with that word triumph on it. And triumph, and by definition, is try with umph behind it. See? That's success, and that's what this verse is saying. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, you do it with all your might. Again, the outcome and the result, the final product, is not in the text. It's just saying when you have a task at hand, give it your best shot. See? That's what he says. So that's what we're doing. And the next question is, when should our task be done or our work be done? It's while we're alive here on earth. Here. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 2 says, What profit has a man of all his labor which he takes under the sun? While we're under the sun, while we're here, alive today. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. Because the night comes and no man can work. Because we're a people who die. I hope it didn't spoil the outcome for you. We are a people who die. You know, it, when we leave this life, we leave our work here. Paul said, "And we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we carry nothing out." So whatever task we have, it'll have to be done now while we're here. So then the last question is, why should our work be done here and now? And that's in the text. For in the grave where we go, there is no work. Nothing we can do to profit us after we die. There's no device. There's nothing that we can have or manufacture or make that will help us escape judgment. There's no knowledge. There's not any means by which to change our plight. There's no wisdom. There's nothing on our part to change or overthrow God's plan for our life. There's nothing. So Hebrews 9 verse 27 says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. So there's an analysis just of the text. And the rest of the lesson I have for you, I know I just kind of put in a list of things. And I'll just kind of mention a couple of these as time permits. But number one, but some people don't do their best. I wonder why. Many of us who really try to do our best, we wonder, why don't others do their best like we do, or like we think we do? So number one, some people just have a habit of laziness. Proverbs 19, verse 24 says, a slothful man hides his hand in his bosom. He will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Now here's a picture of a man so lazy, he won't lift his hand a second time to feed himself. He's, no matter how hungry he is, a slothful man hides his hand in his bosom and will not bring it to his mouth again. There's an old expression. Some people are not willing to pay the price for success, but they'll pay the price for failure. And that's what this slothful man is doing. I'm not going to put forth the effort so I can be successful. I'm not going to pay that price, but I'll pay the price for failure because of my slothfulness. So some people will not do their best just because they have that habit of laziness. Second, some have just developed a quitter spirit. They just don't finish what they start. I've known people like that in my life. They're great guns at the beginning. We just don't see them at the end. Number three, some are content to live mediocre lives. They just haven't expressed any interest in striving to do their best. They really don't want to be the best at anything, and Christian living included. And how sad and how tragic. They may have adapted to a just-get-by attitude in society. I'm just content to be mediocre. Number four, I put, some may not know, may have not been taught. And no one's ever really pulled them aside and said, you know, you need to try with your might to do the task. You need to try with your might to work and worship in the congregation. Somebody say, well, nobody's ever told me that. And I want to say, really? And so even in education, when I was a teacher in San Diego Unified School District, even with special ed students, we would teach. And then you reteach. And you give that lesson over and over again. And so even in our spiritual lives, and Jesus said it, if someone compels you to go 1 mile, go another. If someone needs your coat, you give them a cloak too. You add a little more. You do more than what's expected. You know, even our parents try to teach us that. At least my dad did with us boys. If you borrow a tool from your neighbor or whatever else, you bring it back in better shape than what you received it. If you borrow the car, you put gas in it when it returns. Maybe not as much, but at least you put a little. But that's the idea of this. There's somebody that says, well, nobody ever told me that. Well, we're telling you today. Some people are just not convinced or convicted of the importance of worship and service. Not convinced. And so they give it that mediocre effort. They may be convinced in their own mind that they're doing it enough, but let me tell you, there's more. Because Jesus, in Jesus' own words, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. So when He says seek, He says give it some diligence, put forth some effort, try, pursue, hunt. Right? That's more than just mediocre. That's more than just Joe Average. I hope nobody's named Joe here. And first, priority, top, number one, the kingdom of God. Our work and our worship has significance. And I want to teach that. Not only today, but we'll reteach this. Because it has significance. And if you're not convinced of that, you'll not give it your best effort. You won't. You'll just listen and you'll say, oh, there goes Brian again. Oh, we've heard him say that before. Yeah, but my object is to persuade you. Give you that conviction and convince you that it really is worth the effort. This assembly will not be repeated. If you did not attend today, you would have missed what's going on in the assembly today. I know we're meeting again next Lord's Day, but this one is not repeated. If you come back next Sunday, you're not going to hear this lesson. Maybe I would like to give it again. No, there'll be a different lesson next week. So when you miss something, you really have missed. And I want to have that soaked in your life. I've missed when I've missed the assembly. The verse says, whatsoever your hand finds to do, you do with all your might, but the kingdom gets priority. We're not meeting again this afternoon, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Thursday through Saturday. It's right now. So your hand should, oh, I know you have because you're here today. Your hand should have put forth some effort to be here. Be here next, well, not from Arizona, I'm sure Texas. But you can be here next Lord's Day. Worship has significance. It cannot be replaced at your home. Somebody says, I'll worship at home. There's a Greek word for that. Baloney. That's just my opinion. I said I'd get through this. Somebody just lacked courage. Number two, when you're do your best, use your might. Why? How do you answer someone that asked that question? Brian, you keep saying, oh, you've got to do your best. Why? Nobody else is doing it. Nobody else even cares about doing their best. Why me? And I think any time we say a person ought to do something, there should be a rationale behind it. There should be a good reason for that admonition. So that's what I want to give you. Why should I give my effort? Why should I be in attendance? And I need to give a better reason than because I said so. That's what my parents always told me. Because I said so. Oh, okay. I'm convinced. Number one, Romans 14, verse 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Oh, my. Just reading that scripture, I shouldn't even have to make a comment on that one. Because every one of us is going to have to give an account of themselves to God. That's why you should give it your best. That's why the work and the worship of the church should have priority. Somebody I know said more people would do their best if they had to put their names on the products they produce. Well, your name is on your life's work. You're putting your name on your product of your life. Number two, I put that's all you can do. Again, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do with all your might. That's all that's expected is try. That's triumph. Number three, because the alternative of not doing your best is doing less than your best. You're turning in work that even you know is not up to standard. When you don't do your best, you're going to have to live with the thought of knowing that I didn't do my best. I hope that sinks in. And the alternative of not doing your best is doing less than your best. It means you may develop a pattern or a habit of doing less than expected. And I don't want you to have that habit, that pattern. Number four, because of positive results. Doing your best to have an influence on others. Did you know that? Jesus said in John 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. He's not only taking the illustration of this is what you need to do to love one another, but did you know that has an impact on those that are looking at you? Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verse 7, nobody lives to themselves and nobody dies to themselves. That means you can't just walk your talk with God, my God and I. We'll just take care of it. No, there's others. Nobody lives to themselves. You can't say, oh, it's my life. I'll do with it what I want to. Who am I hurting? It's not going to affect anybody else. Yes, you are hurting somebody else, and it does affect somebody else. No one lives to themselves. No one even dies to themselves. Even in your death, it'll have an impact on somebody else. That's why you need to do your best. That's why. I'm not mad at you. I'm just trying to get this in. I'm trying to do my best. It's a reward within itself. Number three, the major point, number three, I think it's on the back of your notes. Do your best. Use your might. How? How can I accomplish this? Brian, that you say that sounds so good, but how do I put it into practice? How? Just make it a resolution. Write a card out like they do in the business world. Just write on a 3x5 card, I will use my might to do my best for God. Tape it up on your mirror. Number two, develop a plan to do your best when presented a task. No, it just won't happen. Fail to plan is the plan to fail. Adjust your schedule. Make time. Draw on resources. Have a 911 friend. There's stuff out there. How can I do that? There's resources. Number three, know that sometimes, try as you may fail to do your best. Well, that happens. Paul struggled with that in Romans chapter 7, verse 19. He says, the good that I would, I don't do. Then he takes the opposite. And the evil that I would not, he says, that's what I sometimes do. He says, I struggle with this, and he says, but thanks be to God. See, there's help from above, too. Number four, pray for wisdom. Number five, remember that God's interested in your faithfulness. Number six, we've heard this illustration with our small kids with the train. I think I can. Try again. Don't quit. Number seven, examine yourself at the end of the day. Just got a little self-reflection. Have I given it my might? Have I given the task that I had today, given it my might? And then remember, tomorrow's a new day. Resolve to improve. Number eight, develop a positive attitude in Christian living. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do. I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I have to do. And then I have the added strength that comes from above. Number nine. I'll close with this one. Number nine. Put doing your best into practice. You ever hear the expression, practice makes perfect? That's wrong. Practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. If you're practicing something the wrong way, it makes that wrong way permanent. If you're practicing in the right way, then practice will make that perfect if you're already doing it correctly. But if you're doing something incorrectly, that practice makes that permanent. It doesn't make it perfect. If you're in that habit of not doing something you know to do, you keep practicing that, it'll become permanent. Oh, I don't attend like I should. You keep that up and you'll make that permanent. You won't attend. Practice makes permanent, not perfect. Change that one in your notes, in your mental note. Last one I have, do your best knowing that others care about you. Others care. So that's the lesson that Solomon gives. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, just do it with all your might. Because there's no work, no device, no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave where you go. You have to do it today. Do it now. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. There's one here this morning and not a member of the New Testament church. When you're not a Christian, you have, here's the formula, the plan. Here's what you need to do step by step. Number one, you need to hear the good news message that God sent His Son for our salvation from spiritual death. And then number two, you believe it. You believe the message you've heard. And then you're willing, as Jesus said, to repent of your sins, turn your life around. And then confess your faith, number four, that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's that good news message. And then you can be baptized for remission of sins. As the Bible says, to rise to walk in newness of life. And from that point on, then you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So at the close of a lesson, we issue that invitation. We tell you those steps that need to be accomplished. And then we ask you, do you want to respond to that? And if you do, you may. You can do it this morning. Just simply as we're singing this song, have a seat beside me. At the close of the song, I'll just ask you a question. What's on your mind? And your response is, Brian, I want to be baptized for remission of sins. Or Brian, I want to have brethren pray with me or for me about a decision. That's the response that I'm asking you to make this morning. So let's stand together and sing that song of invitation.